Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Rarely does it get bigger than this during presidential primary Super Tuesday. And the name fits. 14 states up for grabs tonight for the Democrats, including Virginia. Joe Biden already claiming victory there. Bernie Sanders claiming victory in Vermont, his home state. It could be a game changer for Biden, Bernie Sanders, or even Michael Bloomberg, who is on the ballot for the very first time. We're going to watch the first results and provide analysis and perspective. My guests are political analysts Jamila Bay and Atiba Madjan, political strategist and founder of Party Politics U.S. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Thank you both for coming in. I appreciate it.
It's a delight to be here. Thank you.
It's great to be here.
Jamila, let's start with you. Virginia being called for Joe Biden, Vermont being called for Bernie Sanders. Is that just the popcorn for the preview, or is this part of the main event?
Here's the thing. I'm going to just call this for popcorn right now. This is the preview, okay? We knew Sanders had to take Vermont.
Okay.
We knew that. When you consider the resurrection of candidate Biden, not only did he get resuscitated, but he got resuscitated and patted on the back and sent out in a fresh suit of clothes. He has a whole new wind behind him. And the fact that, you know, we're looking at these two candidates. Michael Bloomberg is absolutely a spoiler here. He's blanketed all of these states and all of these ads. We don't know what effect that's going to have. And for those who are, you know, for those who are keeping count, there's still Elizabeth Warren.
Do you think that Elizabeth Warren could be a factor right now? To be quite honest, since Saturday, we have not heard a whole lot from her.
We haven't, but because everybody is so enchanted by the newly reanimated Forgive me, Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot count out the effect that she will have on women who vote. We understand the power of the black vote. We of all people understand the power of the black vote. Women who are for Warren, and even men who are for Warren, are probably willing to actually go out and vote for her because this is their one and only chance. There are a lot of people who feel like they don't want to just lay down and give in to establishment or give in to Bernie. I think there are a lot of opportunities for, if you will, spoiler votes to happen. And I think tonight we're going to see some of that coming in.
Atiba.
My issue, because I know there are a lot of people out there who would like to see Warren come through. We've got to start to see what she does in Massachusetts, because if she can't win her own state, she doesn't deserve to be on the ballot in any of these states, even if she does pull off a win in another state. And I think that the reason why Biden is now out front is because, just think about it, the man had been in three presidential elections, had never won a primary, finally won, and now you see the support from Buttigieg and Klobuchar and others, Beto O'Rourke, coming behind him. This Bernie explosion, we're going to see if that's real. Tonight. And I think that at the end of the night, we will know whether or not this is something real or whether or not we're going to have a protracted race.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Super Tuesday primary analysis and news tonight. There will be another poll closing in approximately 16 minutes. I should say a set of polls, actually. I do want to talk about this Biden-Sanders battle. Is this a generational thing? And both of them are senior citizens, but their supporters are are really very, very different. Bernie Sanders has this youthful wave coming to support him, and then you have Joe Biden, the old Democratic guard, one could argue. Is that a battle royale coming down?
So, if you allow me for a second to kind of talk about this young wave, I think it's very exciting to see what Bernie has been able to do, especially the fact that over the last 4 years, he's been building this revolution, and he's brought forward a whole lot of other candidates. We see that happen in Congress in 2018 with people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Mm-hmm. But we also have a lot of young people who are angry at the system and want to just break it apart as if that won't have any repercussions. And yet you have the moderate voters and more conservative wing of the Democratic Party that are saying, hold on, wait, you know, we can address some of these issues without having to break the whole thing apart. So we've got a cultural revolution that's going on in terms of what Bernie is talking about in terms of health care. That seems to be one of the number of major issues of people in terms of with their votes. But electability is still the most important thing. And I think that what people are feeling that is that Biden may be the best person to go up against Trump as opposed to Bernie Sanders. But we said that same thing in 2016 about Trump
and electability. Mm-hmm. Because you've got a whole lot of people supporting Bernie Sanders, my daughter included, mm-hmm. who is 21 years old, mm-hmm. and who believe that he is electable.
Well, anyone's electable if they get votes, then they're elected. Asterisk star.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
You know, Atiba, you bring up a fantastic point. I want to take it a step further in that. This you know, moderate wave versus the revolutionary wave that is Sanders. I argue that this has been a fight that's been a long time in coming. I would say this is a 50-year-long fight.
Why
honestly.
Do you say that?
Who is a Democrat? What is a Democrat? What is their main verb? We don't know that. You know, the GOP has build a wall, make America great again. There's the wave of Democrats that believes in freedom, justice, the more today you would call that the more radical, the more Bernie centric ideals and standards. But you have this wave, I would argue, these Clintonian Democrats who were more corporate, who believed, well, you know, I want clean air, clean water. I want regulation. But, you know, the taxing the wealthy isn't as big a platform as our party needs to make it. We can borrow a lot of Republican policies. Let's look at the Affordable Care Act. You know, that was a Republican plan until Obama took, you know, Mitt Romney's daddy's program. So who is a Democrat? Are they this more moderate? Are they this more radical? And when you have all of these ideas and all of these different candidates, I think that's why you have this mishmash of people running. And when you ask a person, well, what Democratic Party is the one that stands for you? That's why you get this wild variation. And it makes it really exciting. The political scientist in me is a kid in a candy store. But when we talk about what's going to happen tonight, I'm not getting no sleep. I don't know.
Yeah, and I would argue that this is also applicable not only to the Democrats, but it's also applicable to the Republicans. Because before 2016, mm-hmm. you had these fiscally conservative Republicans who were, in some cases, you may even have to go back to, George Bush, you know, mm-hmm. the second George Bush to talk about, you know, big tent Republicans. Well, now some of the Republicans don't even have a stake in the ground for the tent. And these are Trump Republicans. So I would argue that the Democrats and the Republicans have changed significantly over the past, 4 years or so?
I think they've changed a lot, but the Democrats still have the same problem they've had for last 4 years, if not more, and that's they don't have a message.
Thank you.
Or maybe they're not having the ability to communicate whatever their message happens to be. The Republicans have obviously been quite effective.
Leaders lead.
That.
I don't see this Democratic Party leading. You know, if we look back at 2008 when President Obama ran as a senator, we can go back and you can tell, say, change,
Hope. Mm-hmm.
But those are two simple messages, and there was something that resonated with the people. Right mm-hmm. now, you've got a lot of people who are running around, in my opinion, and for lack of a better way of saying it, like hamsters, like mm-hmm. trying to figure out where's the cheese, trying to find the food. So, as you mentioned, so we've got climate, we've got health care, mm-hmm. we've got free college education, mm-hmm. we've got all these issues that are on the table. But no one, I mean, Elizabeth Warren has talked about, I have a plan for that. But really, people don't really want to get bogged down into the nuances of policy. They want to know what you're going to do for me. Mm-hmm. And so you have all these false promises because day one, Bernie Sanders, if he becomes the next president, he's not going to be able to deliver on a $1.6 trillion health care plan. He's not going to be able to all of a sudden change the way that we go to colleges and universities. So, you know, how are you really going to do that? And then what happens to that electorate? Should he be elected president? And he's not able to deliver. So, mm-hmm. you know, we've got, I think it would be nice to think that we had a smarter, younger electorate right now. I think we have an emotionally charged electorate, which people often keep talking about these campaigns. Hey, they want to be excited about something. Mm-hmm. So they have something to be excited about. The question is, what are you going to actually do and how are you going to do that? Because I know there are a lot of people out there who are going to tell you, well, I don't want to pay 51%. In taxes. So when you start getting into the general election, where is that going to go into that conversation? Is Sanders going to come middle of the road if he becomes a nominee? But again, we have to get past Super Tuesday to see where that's going to go.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking Super Tuesday politics. If you have some thoughts on what is going to happen before the final polls close, California and then the territory, American Samoa. Exactly. Yeah, that's going to be much, much later.
Yes.
Much, much later. Literally, yes. Almost on the other
They're
side of the world.
They're caucusing as we speak.
But 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to hear what you have to say. Let me talk a little bit about what has happened over the past couple of days. We had Buttigieg, Steyer, and
Klobuchar.
And Klobuchar stepping down. There are delegates to be dispersed. How is that done? When is that done?
So the delegate thing.
Without putting us to sleep.
Okay, without putting us to sleep.
Yeah, make it as exciting.
All right.
If you need some transformer explosions and some cars tipping over and you know, and let me know.
A very simplified and excited up way of putting this is. All of these delegates that, well, not all, but there are a few delegates that Buttigieg had and Klobuchar had, and those are people who are just waiting to get in and say, okay, here's who we're going to support. But the thing is, they can't be released yet because these campaigns haven't ended. They're suspended, which means that all of those delegates are still tied up. They can't pledge allegiance to anybody, but they can, but they're not supposed to. Let's presume that they're all going to play fair and say, hey, I pledge to support who I came in to support. So this is a big win for Biden up front because Biden's people can say, okay, well, you know, Klobuchar said that she supports me, so all of your delegates are going to come to me, even if the delegates don't agree. So, and what happens is when it's time to go to say, here's who the delegates are, you've got all of these tied up because their allegiances to Klobuchar come Biden, and they can't get out there. And they might get out there and say, oh, well, I really like Sanders, but they're not allowed to speak. They're not allowed to be disseminated elsewhere mm-hmm. until such time as those original campaigns that are suspended are actually shut down.
So are we waiting until the convention? State convention? The Democratic convention?
Well, what's happening tonight is we're going to see that.
I see.
Because if we get a let's just assume we get a clear, decisive Sanders win across Sanders. Well, that makes it obvious that, you know, Biden may not become the actual candidate come the fall. It makes sense to then release a lot of those delegates to Sanders. In the reverse, the same thing. Now, this is why I say don't count out Warren and don't count out the money factor that is Bloomberg. those delegates are still up for grabs for whatever happens with all four of the presumed candidates at this point. So I know it's messy. I know, you know, there are a lot of people who want to just come out and say, oh, well, this is, I know for a fact. But no, we don't know for a fact. The numbers do not come through until all of these voting, all of these, you know, all of these Super Tuesday states call it. And that's not going to happen for many hours from now.
Let me go to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Ronald calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Ronald. What's on your mind?
You guys have a great topic this evening.
Thank you.
I'm kind of not impressed with none of the candidates. But me being a black man, the only one who appears to be talking to us in my age group appears to be Bloomberg.
And what is your age group?
We're in the 55 to 65 group.
Okay.
He actually is talking to us on what he's going to do as far as jobs, housing, and things of those natures that none of the other candidates are. They appear to me giving false promises that they are not going to be able to deliver.
Stop and frisk doesn't bother you?
Not one bit.
The NDAs with the women that worked for his organization don't bother you?
It didn't bother Trump to get into office, so why should it bother me?
Well, and see, here's the thing about that. For some, it may not have bothered Donald Trump, but it did bother some people, which, you know, we can go all the way back to find, mm-hmm. you know, to, I mean, that divides, you know, gender and race and politics, you know, grabbing them by the hoo-ha mm-hmm. Bothered a whole lot of people.
If you beat up a black man at my rally, I'll pay your legal bills. You know, all the Mexicans are rapists. You know, the woman's got blood coming out of her wherever. She's a fat, ugly pig.
Yeah. So maybe he does. So maybe, you know, Bloomberg isn't even Trump light for Ronald, huh?
Well, guys, you know, it's the bottom line that counts. You
okay.
Know, how are they going to improve our lives and the lives of our younger generation? And that's how I look at it.
All right.
That's the most important thing now.
Ronald, thank you so much. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking Super Tuesday politics. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I promise we will take as many of your calls as possible. North Carolina polls closing in just a few seconds. When we come back, we'll talk about that. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue. On Sirius XM Channel 141, I'm Harold Fisher. Angela Stribling is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We continue on Sirius XM Channel 141 in a few seconds. Kathy from D.C. and Ronald calling from Upper Marlboro. You're next. We'll be back in a bit.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are looking at the politics of Super Tuesday. My guests are political analysts Jamila Bey and Atiba Madjan, political strategist and founder of Party Politics U.S. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We've got some exciting stuff happening. We're literally waiting for the North Carolina polls to close and to see where the projections are. The first projections are coming out right now out of CNN. Again, no surprise there. North Carolina being taken by Joe Biden. We've got 110 delegates at stake. Those are two big wins, Atiba, for Joe Biden back to back.
They are. You know, it's funny. I was reading some stuff today that was saying that there could be a possible 7-7 split out of this 13 states in the territory of American Samoa. Him winning North Carolina shows that what happened in South Carolina spilled over.
And he's got a lot of support in the South. a lot of black voters in the South. I would argue North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, the black voters have really helped take Joe Biden over the top in those states. But the question is, as we move farther west, what's going to happen? Because here's the big thing. There is concern about voting in Tennessee, specifically in the Nashville mm-hmm. metro area, those horrific tornadoes, 25 people killed, many others missing. And there are some polls in Nashville that will stay open until 10 o'clock. But as we know, particularly as it relates to Democratic voters, it is those urban areas mm-hmm. that you see a lot of support. And urban doesn't necessarily mean black. Urban means people that are living in the cities and just outside of the cities. And so Tennessee could be in play.
Tennessee is absolutely in play. I have to give a shout out to my young sibling, Dr. Bay, who is safe in Nashville.
Okay. Okay, good to know.
And, here's what we need to remember about Music City. It has a whole lot of people. It has a whole lot of universities. It's an incredibly moneyed and educated demographic, not unlike Washington, D.C.
Yeah, Tennessee State, you got Vanderbilt,
NC Central, got all of those right there. And the thing about Tennessee is, it is a place where to look at these Democratic candidates, you would think that Joe Biden would do very well. However, it's also a place where you do have the demographic that Sanders talks to. You have the college educated, you have the radical, to use that word as we mean it today. You have the radical artist who believes in life, liberty, freedom, and that no American should ever be hungry or want for education or housing. So what's going to happen in Tennessee? Again, that's one of those where I think far smarter people than myself would go out on a limb and call it. I think it's way too early, especially when you consider that Davidson County, the second largest county mm-hmm. in the state, was hit very hard.
Yes.
There had to be a court ruling to keep those polling places open late. And that's not even going to do it for people who have lost loved mm-hmm. ones. There are a lot of people who are fine physically, but they have no homes right now.
Yeah, and if you don't have a house, voting probably is the last thing on your mind.
Exactly. So, it's in play with who can get to the polls. And that is, you want to talk about an issue of privilege, that's one right there.
Interesting. Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kathy, calling from D.C., thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you for having this lively, timely discussion. I'm an African-American female. I'm educated. I'm originally from New York. You will see Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren do very well in this Super Tuesday election cycle. And I think that the ticket should be Biden-Warren, whatever iteration you can give. Either he can lead the ticket or she can lead the ticket. Ms. Warren is principled. She's a fighter. She's pragmatic. She's a manager. And Joe comes to the table with a wealth of experience. Mr. Sanders is nothing more than a charismatic speaker who's been in the Senate for years and years with no legislative accomplishments. And again, I'm from New York, but no thank you to Mr. Bloomberg. He's a smart man, but no thank you. If we don't go, when I say we, the Democrats, okay, we need to get it together. If we do not put together a Warren-Biden ticket, we're going to say hello to President Trump again.
What do you think about Kamala Harris?
She needs to sit down.
Oh,
so you think that Warren would be a better candidate than Kamala?
I like someone who has principles and integrity. I'm not saying that Ms. Harris doesn't have any integrity, but she looks to see which way the wind blows, and you need to stand strong, even when it looks like you're down for the count. You need to stand strong, and Elizabeth Warren is a fighter. I have so much respect for her. She's a teacher, and I'm going to get out there and help fight for her and Mr. Biden. I could not do that for Ms. Harris, and even though she's a member of my alma mater.
What if she loses her state tonight in Massachusetts?
She needs to fight until the end.
Okay.
It's not over till it's over.
What do you think about a Biden-Warren ticket, Jamila?
I think that Biden has promised that vice president slot to someone browner and someone younger. And Biden's Achilles heel, but we're going to just talk about the one, is that he has to redeem himself for his support of stop and frisk. No, that's Bloomberg's thing. You know, Bloomberg got on stage and wiped Joe Biden up and down, you know, and Biden stumbled and couldn't even defend himself. Biden has to redeem himself from the crime bill. Biden has to redeem himself from his treatment of Anita Hill. And the way he does that is with somebody younger, somebody darker complexioned, and somebody who can get up there and say, yeah, we know Uncle Joe don't have it all together. That's why I'm here to bolster. Joe Biden has the best ace in the hole there is when it comes to black voters. Whether you like it or not, it exists. And it's I was Barack's buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can find a Barack buddy substitute, there are a whole lot of people who will forgive him his transgressions and pull that Biden lever. It's not going to be Warren. She does not bring the compliment that he needs.
Kathy, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Ronald Burrow. Ronald, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, this is Ronald from Upper Marlboro. Thank
yes, sir.
You for taking my call. I'm going to go with BB, not meaning be best, but Biden and Beto. I think that right now with the Democratic Party, we have a lot of ideas out there, and some of your panelists have stressed the fact that a lot of these ideas are basically great ideas, but no way that they could be achieved. Our young people are very optimistic about some of these ideas that are being floated out there. You know, if I had several $100,000 in college debt, I'd want that taken care of too, but that's not going to happen. But if that is what some of these candidates are selling out there, that's exciting some of these voters to get to the polls, somewhere we have to corral all of these great ideas into one nominee. And I think that's going to be ultimately Joe Biden, and some of these other folks can take some cabinet positions to put administration. But the goal is to beat Trump. And that's what we need to be focused on as Democrats. Put together the ticket that has the best opportunity to get Trump out of office.
Let me ask Atiba about that, because that was something that I really hadn't considered. And we have to remember, he lost to Ted Cruz, but he almost beat Ted Cruz, Beto O'Rourke, in Texas. Beto O'Rourke is charismatic. He is youthful, and he comes from a big southern state. The only downside of that is that he's more tan than brown,
mm-hmm.
and barely tan, number one. Number two, he is not a woman. And I would argue that it is time for a strong woman vice presidential running mate for the Democrats. I think they made a bold statement with Obama in 2008 and 2012, but now it's time to make the next bold statement.
And I think that former Vice President Biden will pick a woman. And I think she will be of color. I don't think it would be Beto for a number of reasons. One, he lost to Ted Cruz. Two, when he came out on the national stage, he didn't do well at all.
He didn't. No, that's true. He did not.
So he didn't do well in terms of connecting with people. When we're talking about Texas, it would have been nice to have seen him go back to Texas and run for U.S. Senate there against Cornyn, because I think that's a race that he could have won. And I do want to also throw out, because we're talking about Super Tuesday, but let's not lose track of why, you know, for instance, someone like O'Rourke should have gone back to Texas, or Buttigieg should have gone back to Indiana and run for U.S. Senate, because we're not talking about the down ballot races. For instance, in Texas, and District 24, it's a very competitive race where Ken Marchant, the Republican, has stepped down. A couple of years ago, he ran, he lost, he almost lost that seat. He won it by 2 percentage points. I think we should be looking at also these down ballot races. My friend Kim Olson is running there in Texas. It's predicted to go into a runoff, but this turnout, we'll see what happens with Bernie on the ticket. On the ballot today, what that's going to do for those down ballot races in Texas and California and around the country. But when you mention Beto O'Rourke, I don't see that as being, or feel that is something that would excite the ticket or would propel Biden to a victory.
Jamil.
I want to talk to the idea of the college loan forgiveness issue as a non-starter, as a no-go for voters who are more old than I am, I'll put it that way. I'm a very proud Gen Xer, which is to say my parents and their contemporaries did not have enough of us to be a political force. So all we get to do is sit back and hate on everything while millennials and boomers actually get to create policy just by sheer force of numbers. But you need to listen to Xers, and here's why. If the college loan... there was a time you could discharge college loans in bankruptcy. It was Bush the elder who started the deregulation, but it was his son that made it impossible to discharge in bankruptcy. A lot of his friends that were running savings and loans got into the college loan racket, knowing that these are albatrosses around people's necks that they can never get rid of. Their wages are garnished, so on and so forth. Taxes are given back to these private investors. When we have a Democratic president who can forgive the loans of private industry, I'm looking at you, auto people up in Detroit. When we have a president who can remove all of this banking chicanery that happened, this was, you know, in Norway, those people went to jail. In the U.S., Obama pardoned a lot of the bankers who marched to their own banks with people's houses on their backs. Student loan forgiveness is a big issue that is going to infuse billions, plural, of dollars into the economy, hire many people, allow families to do better, and it also comes with better housing, better education, better child care. That's an issue that I will concede to my millennial brethren that, you know, that's the issue that if you keep hitting that, if you break that one wide open, the rest of the economy and the rest of the country is going to benefit as well.
First of all, I need to thank Ronald for his phone call. Yeah. Michael Bloomberg projected to win American Samoa. 6 delegates. That's
it's momentum.
What?
It's momentum.
Michael Bloomberg?
I'm laughing. I almost want to say, can we stop and frisk and take those 6 delegates and put them somewhere?
Oh, trust me, they're getting patted down.
Wow, that's I'm surprised. I am too. I'm really
surprised. You cannot solve for X in this equation. Of course, Bloomberg's got didn't I say we was going to be up a long time?
I think we also have to look at what California is going to do.
Yeah,
because
he invested
a lot there in California.
Mm-hmm. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Robert calling from Maryland. Thanks for hanging on, Robert. What's on your mind?
Okay, now that everyone's on the board, all of the candidates now have delegates. If you guys play Kingmaker, what would be the perfect Democratic ticket?
And well, we're still trying to figure that. We're still trying to figure that out.
My perfect one is still is Biden Kamala.
I say Bernie Stacey Abrams.
Bernie Stacey Abrams.
I don't see her going on that ticket.
I don't see that either.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend. I like being a disruptor, and I think that that the truth of the matter is that Stacey Abrams is putting together a political machine unlike anything that we have seen in the American South. She's mobilizing women. She's forming alliances with voters who really you would think have nothing to do with each other. It might be a little early yet, but my money is on Stacey Abrams.
I love what I'm seeing from Stacey Abrams. I love everything that she's doing, but I don't see that being a winning ticket because I think Bernie's still going to alienate a lot of people, and I don't think that she could bring those voters over to him. I will say this. I say Biden, Kamala. Biden's thinking also legacy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think the rest of the country will look at something from the standpoint of here he was, the vice president to the first African-American president, and then the possibility of him being the president and bringing on the vice president, the first woman, the first female, someone who's dynamic, someone who's smart, someone who actually she has a lot of energy. I think she never got off the ground because she didn't build a good ground game I think felt like she came in with the idea, I've got name recognition because of her work on the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get on that national stage to run for president, it's a whole different thing. But with Biden, I think he would usher her in and that people would trust the fact that she would have possibly 4 years to be groomed to be ready for the presidency.
What do you think, Robert? Who are you looking at as a ticket? What's on your mind about that?
That's probably hard. I know it has to be a combination of a moderate and a progressive, because I think the party is too separated. Going back to your guesses, comment about student loans, housing prices going up as high as they are, loans and things of that nature, that piece is really important to the younger generation. So it has to be a ticket that allows for the younger generation to use their energy to get behind it and support it. I liked Biden and Elizabeth Warren. I thought that might work. But again, there's an age issue there that I thought may turn off the younger generation.
You got to have somebody young or younger. And I think that Warren, she has a plan for everything. I think that she's going to be a standard bearer within the party. She's definitely going to have a place. I don't see her personally on the ticket, not this go around. But I think that we've got to be that, especially if it's Biden or if it's Bernie, both of them are going to have to tap into a youthful well to be able to balance and excite their ticket.
Robert, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One other thing I think about a possible Biden-Kamala Harris ticket is that is about politics. That's not about management. That is not about, Joe can manage the government. Yeah, he's been in it, you know, since Moses parted the Red Sea. But I do believe that is, like you just said, Atiba, this is about image and politics, legacy, history. And one would almost argue, as we have seen, whether it was a Sarah Palin or Elizabeth Warren, although Donald Trump has not had any problem really just coming down hard on just anybody who is a woman. But it's more difficult. I think you have to be careful about how you attack women politically. And if Mike Pence is on the ticket again, which, you know, there's always been discussion of Mike Pence, Kamala Harris debate, I think would be incredibly entertaining.
You know, that would be a bloodbath. Everything Elizabeth Warren did to Michael Bloomberg and Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden and all of those debates, it would look like the popcorn before the main event. Mm-hmm. Kamala would slaughter him. And I believe she would suffer for having done so.
You said she would slaughter who?
Mike Pence.
Mike Pence.
But would she slaughter Nikki Haley?
Nikki. Nimrata Haley can barely.
I mentioned her because, yeah. I mean, that's the same bet.
Nikki Haley. Then again, Sarah Palin. It would be great if we could argue legitimate political candidates who had something going for them other than they managed to get in the job. Nikki Haley has been. What has she done for South Carolina?
She's been, well, I put it this way. So if you're looking at it from a policy standpoint, it's one thing. If you're looking from a political standpoint, it's another.
Politics. Yeah.
And this is politics.
Yeah.
This is about, were you loyal? This is, did you represent the state? This is her being able to say, well, I served on the international level. She I think she would bring a lot of things to the table. She would, and she would cement the ticket if that's the way that he went that way. And it would make it harder to counter by countering the Democratic response if the candidate who comes out picks a woman, particularly a woman of color.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing that would make some moderate Republicans, particularly women Republicans, feel better if Trump were to drop Pence and all of his unique attitudes regarding not being able to travel or be in the same room with the woman without his wife being there and all of that other kind of stuff, and he were to pick, you know, a younger telegenic, articulate woman who has electability, statewide electability pedigree. Mm-hmm. This has nothing to do with whether you like her, okay? But I think that the only problem with that is how she would have to answer for some of the things that President Trump has said. And then she becomes, no longer a straight, Palmetto State former governor, but more like the president of the pretzels, because you have to tie yourself into knots in order to explain that, whether you're a man or a woman.
I love this as an intellectual exercise. My head is exploding in parts. The truth of the matter, and I along the lines of Sarah Palin, Nimrata Haley hasn't the brain power to do the gymnastics necessary to adequately serve in that way. She would want, you want to talk about tokenization, you want to talk about the sheer optics alone, put a South Asian woman on that ticket, and see what happens. Spanish speaking voters are one thing. South Asian, talking electability of a South Asian woman beyond South Carolina.
Are you saying that conservative white folks probably just would not be able to accept the fact that if something were to happen to Donald Trump, if he were to win re-election with Nikki Haley on the ticket, that, because he's already had that mystery examination up
over
at
Walter Reed. Yeah.
Right. And so if something were to happen to him, it's one thing to have a black man with a funny name. It's another thing to have a woman
whose mother still has, who still has the accent. A woman who's real name, I can't even say it.
I think that goes out the window, though, because we have a president who has a wife who has an accent, who comes from another country. I think all this stuff is changed. And regardless of whether or not people like it or not, the current president changed the whole landscape. He didn't put a ripple. He created a wave. So the way we used to look at things, I mean, think about it. 8 years ago, would we have seen Buttigieg on the stage and make the splash that he made? I don't think so. I think that the country is moving, whether or not we like the direction that it's moving.
It is moving. And it's moving everywhere.
Right.
And it is moving everywhere.
You know, I think President Obama used to say it correctly, that within a democracy, it gets messy. Mm-hmm. So we've got all these different factions and all these things coming out, whether or not it's racism, it's sexism, it's xenophobia, or liberals and progressives. We've got a different lay of the land. That's what we've seen right now with the candidates who are running for president of the United States.
I need to ask you before we wrap up here about what is happening with Bloomberg. Bloomberg has almost as many high-profile black folks supporting him as Joe Biden. All these black mayors and former black mayors, mm-hmm. if he does not perform, is that egg on the face of Stephanie Rawlings Blake, Muriel Bowser, and so many others?
I think that I personally thought that when they came out that it was a bit early. And then I started thinking, well, maybe they know something that we don't. And then after those endorsements, we started hearing about the stop and frisk stuff coming out. We kept hearing this and this and this and comments that he's made. He won American Samoa. He's got 6 delegate votes. Let's see what happens by the end of the night. Yeah.
Well, I just think, and I do think, and I brought this up before, that D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser mm-hmm. said that stop and frisk notwithstanding. And I think that this is probably one of the... She wasn't splitting hairs here. Mm-hmm. I think she was speaking reality mm-hmm. that, you know, as a black woman, yes, she understood mm-hmm. how difficult stop and frisk was. However, she said she also saw a big city mayor who was about the business of protecting his city. And Michael Nutter could say the same thing. You could say Stephanie Rawlings Blake could say the same exact thing. The thing that they all have in common is that they are or were mayors. And we've even heard people say, even though it doesn't matter anymore, about, you know, the mayors may be the ones that, you know, may be most qualified, or the governors.
This is what matters to me.
You know, because they can manage.
What matters to me is that Bloomberg, who gave a tepid endorsement to President Obama, keeps putting President Obama out.
Are you sure? I see all of these ads with, aren't they best buddies?
What bothers me is that Bloomberg has all these off-cuff remarks about African Americans having been the reason behind the recession and so on and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Those are serious concerns. Is, you know, and then you have the stop and frisk, and then you have how he was mayor of the city, and then you have people who were citizens in New York who said he wasn't that great of a mayor, but we have these major city mayors who have endorsed him, and they have their reasons. I don't see it from the outside. But there are also a lot of people who have gone to work on his campaigns.
Yeah.
What's that O.J. song? For the love of money.
You said O.J. or O.J.'s?
O.J.'s. O.J.'s. Plural.
My mind is promises you can't keep.
Yeah.
Jamila Bey, Atiba Madjun, thank you both so much for talking to us. I tell you, the excitement is just beginning. I'll have my next thing of popcorn without butter, please. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, March 3rd. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.